Would you please take your Bibles and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 2 today. Proverbs chapter 2, we'll be taking a break from our study in Matthew and sharing what I hope will be some encouragement to you in regard to our role in Christian education. Our founding pastor and Aunt Carolyn were deeply involved in the 1960s with the beginnings of what has become Christian education here in the United States of America in the day school area. Christian colleges had been in existence for many, many years, and there were a few Christian schools around the country, but not very many. And through his instrument, Dayton Hobbs, the start of the Christian Educators Association, and later on different state associations, Christian education was formed and organized with a purpose. And that purpose was the communication of truth to children. To communicate not only the three R's, but to communicate the knowledge of God from His Word to children without government intervention. Many things had happened in the early 1960s that led to this move. In 1962, of course, was the ruling that came down that it was illegal for a Bible reading to be in the public schools. And then the year later, 1963, that there was to be no prayer in public schools. And of course, with that, we have watched our education system in America implode. We have watched our character implode in America. That was very significant, what happened in the early 1960s. Not only that, I've had several conversations in the last week or so with different individuals that I've met around town, on campus here, and a striking attitude is forming in our community and also around our country with the acceptance that good things are happening as a result of government education. I had one gentleman that stopped me. We'd had a discussion last fall during soccer season about Common Core, and I shared with him, I gave him a whole stack of literature that I had collected and gotten from Mr. Watt and so forth to share with him our concerns with that. And he said, I just wanted to let you know that I'm much more comfortable now with Common Core, what's taking place. And I said, so you're comfortable with something that you don't know anything about? Oh yeah, I said, they haven't released the what they're going to be doing in history. They haven't released yet what they're going to be doing in science. That's coming, but it hasn't been released yet. Only the College Board has been given a little glimpse into what's going to be happening. So we know that you don't know anything about that, so you're saying you're good with something that hasn't been tested yet. He said, well, I don't think they would lead us astray. Now, that mentality, here was a man that last fall was dead set against what was happening. And now he is comfortable with what is happening. Now, he is symptomatic of what we're seeing all across this country when it comes to the idea or the concept of discernment. The ability to see through things to what they really are. I found this some years ago by a poem by Alexander Pope. And I want you to listen to this because this is a very powerful statement in a poetic form. Vice is a monster of so frightful mien, as to be hated needs but to be seen. Yet seen too often, familiar with her face, we first endure, then pity, then embrace. Now maybe you remember that poem. It's not taught in the public schools anymore. It used to be a part of literature, that poem right there. It is full of truth because it's based upon the Bible. This concept, vice is a monster. We are repelled by monsters, all right? We see monsters in our sleep when we're little. Who hasn't had to run into their child's bedroom to console them? There's a monster in my bedroom. I saw him there. There's not a monster in your bedroom. You probably had a bad dream, or maybe you saw something move in the night or whatever, and there's not a monster in the bedroom here, all right? Or I heard a noise. There's somebody outside my bedroom window. All right? And so you run outside with your big axe handle and you look for all of the evil creatures that are around the house. There's nothing there. You go back into the house and try to soothe everybody down, and everybody goes back to sleep except for Dad, whose heart's pounding because he went out to fight monsters, all right, in the middle of the night. Now, we all know that there are scary things in this world. But you know what? Whenever you're around something that's scary for a period of time, what happens? At first, we endure. Secondly, we start to pity the monster. All right? We know it's a monster, but we start to pity the monster. Oh, that's a terrible thing, this poor monster. Nobody likes the monster. The monster doesn't have a friend in the world, and we start to pity the monster. And then the next thing you know, we embrace the monster. And then it's too late. Now, what I want you to see, folks, is there are things, there are philosophies in this world that are monsters. There are ways of thinking. They are monstrous. But what happens over time? The monstrosity becomes something that we endure, and then we pity, and then we embrace. We are watching this happen in the realm here where we're seeing teenagers and young people wanting to go across, halfway across the world to fight for ISIS, the Islamic State. Young people that don't have any understanding whatsoever. We have left common sense these days to where we're willing now, our young people are willing to accept any philosophy. Now, where did that mentality come from? It came from government education. Now, think about it. We have swallowed everything that has been passed down. There's no difference between us. Their ideology is no different than our ideology, and our ideology is bad in America. Capitalism is bad. And they tear down, you know, what is good whenever it's right. Obviously, capitalism can be wrong whenever the profit motive is greed. I understand that. But to put what we have on equivalent levels with other philosophies and other theologies around the world is a mistake. It could be deadly for you. All right? It was deadly this week for a man who went to Syria to help other Syrians. Maybe you heard about the Englishman that had gone to Syria. He felt that he should go and help out the poor citizens. He was captured, and then this week he was beheaded. All right? Now, this particular individual was not a Christian. He was a person that had been taught in Britain, and from what we have read about him, he was just somebody that wanted to go and extend goodwill to these people that he felt were oppressed and so forth. But he lost his life. We have to understand something, that the philosophies of this world and that are embedded within the government school system have to be fought against, not embraced. There are people, I had a second conversation this past week, and it was someone that had a student in our school many years ago, and said, yeah, one of your kids came up to this week in my neighborhood and they were selling chocolate bars. And I told them that I could no longer support Santa Rosa Christian School because Santa Rosa Christian School does not stand for most of the values that I stand for. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? I said, did your child get a good education at Santa Rosa Christian School? Well, yeah, he got a good education at Santa Rosa Christian School, but he was taught the Bible. He was taught the Bible, and it took us years to get him past that, of quoting Scripture from memory. And, you know, y'all do good things in the community. You have a good ball program out here, and lots of kids come on your campus and so forth, but I don't agree anymore with this teaching of the Bible. I think that we ought to leave students in the land of the neutral. Listen, that is a lie. There is nothing neutral about public education. It is run by the devil and his supporters. And they would strip from the minds of children, and they have stripped from the minds of children, any concept of morality. It's gone. When in their English classes they put up R-rated movies to watch, and they're supposed to study the literary value of an R-rated movie. And so what are they doing? They're desensitizing the kids. They're watching filthy nudity. They're listening to curse words spewed constantly on the screen, and that has value. And yet an Alexander Pope who puts a moral truth into a poem that you can memorize and take with you about being careful about the monster of vice and not being desensitized to that, oh, we don't want that in our literature. We don't want that. And so we've got a serious problem today among people who attend church, grandparents, parents, who say, you know what, maybe public education is not that bad. Maybe it's not that bad. Government education, not that bad. After all, I've seen kids go on and do well. Well, maybe so. But you know what I find? I find that there are philosophies that are embedded that never go away. I'll tell you one philosophy that's embedded. It's the play mentality. We never really get serious about school. We never get serious. It's a constant battle for a teacher to keep a child on track in a school about learning and paying attention and being disciplined. It's hard work, but we've long given up on that. There are some teachers in the public school system that are disciplined individuals and require that, but I want to tell you, the vast majority, it's undisciplined. There is chaotic stuff. I had a young lady this week, as I'm talking, I went to the Jay Peanut Festival yesterday. I was talking to a young lady I hadn't seen in a while, and she was telling me about all the violence that she's witnessed since she left Santa Rosa Christian School. Violence in the schools. And so I just can't believe. Drugs, violence, lockdown drills, lockdowns. Somebody's got a knife on campus. Somebody brought a gun in their car. So it's just unbelievable. We never had that at Santa Rosa Christian School. Violence has taken over in many places. I've told you about every year I get a print-off from Homeland Security that you can go online and print it off about the record of violence in our public schools across America, and the volume's about this thick. Telling about the violent acts that take place in America, all across America, that take place. What's happened? Violence, moral depravity, filthy language, disrespect. You know what? This is so important. You cannot seal up the Word of God to thousands of young people and produce in their lives anything but barbarism. All right? You cannot seal up this book and say, we don't want this in our schools. We're not going to have it in our schools. And you seal this book up to thousands of children for generations. Do you think that you're going to get a good product? You're going to create a barbarism and paganism beyond the pale. It's happened in every society, all right? And our society was unique among the nations of the world that for so many years the Bible was allowed in education. The Bible was the focus of education. You go back to the log cabin schools that were started in the early years of our country where the Bible was taught. That's how they learned how to read. The McGuffey readers were saturated with what? Bible verses. Moral teachings from the Bible. But that's all gone away now. That's all gone away now. And now it's you do whatever you want to do. As long as you don't hurt somebody, you just do whatever you want to do. When you write down, I want you to just write something in your literature class that you feel good about. And so you're going to get everything from writings on filthy things, sexual things, death, suicide. You're going to get the whole thing that happens, all right? Because we have no moral fundament. Proverbs chapter 2, I think, is one of the most astounding passages in our Bible about Christian education. It is, now understand, Christian education is more than just having a church having a Christian school. It's more than that. It's about you having Christian education at home with your children. It's having Christian education with your grandchildren. You know, it's an amazing thing how people perhaps will send their children to a Christian school, and then when the grandbabies come along, they forget all about Christian education. It's not important anymore. I had a conversation this week with a grandfather that thought it was very important. He walked up to me and he shook my hand and he said, Mr. Brainerd, He said, I just want you to know, I have my grandchildren in Santa Rosa Christian School, and I just want you to know, as a Christian, it thrills my heart to know that my grandchildren are not going to be taught a subversive way of life that differs from my Christian faith. And I want to thank you for that. He said, you probably don't get very many people that come up and thank you for that. But I want you to know I'm thankful for Santa Rosa Christian School and that my grandchildren are in that school and that they're being taught the Word of God every day and that they can pray any time of the day and they can get the teachings that they need to make them the right kind of a person. I appreciated that. But that was a grandfather that was engaged. This grandfather's involved in his grandchildren's education. But you know, we live in this time of whatever. We don't have kids decide they don't want to do Christian school. That's all right with me, as long as they let me come visit the grandkids. You know what that is? That's a careless, damnable attitude. You probably will not see your grandchildren in heaven. That's what that means. We get this careless attitude, you know, well, I don't have any influence. Well, you ought to use every ounce of it. Well, if I say something to them, they're going to get upset with me. What's more important, their soul or you having somebody upset with you? Listen, you ought to use your Christian influence for God. And that includes your family, too. Somehow we've got this notion, well, family's different. Family's over here, and this is everybody else, and I'll be hypercritical about these people over here, but when it comes to family, don't you dare say anything about them. Because that's family. But you know what? You've got a serious problem. You've got a Bible problem. You've isolated over here and put this group over here called family, and they're the untouchables. But over here, everybody else, I'm going to criticize and I'm going to rip them up. Because they're not doing like I think they ought to do. What's wrong with you? Look in the mirror. You know what the mirror is? It's the Word of God. This passage of Scripture here is very important. It's a father pleading with his son about where he should go to learn wisdom. Do you realize that that's our role as parents? Your role as a parent is not just to put clothes on the backs of the children. That's important. It's not to give them 3 square meals a day and snacks. That's important. It's not to just put a roof over their head, though that's important. It's not sure to make sure that they've got all their needs supplied. Those are all important things, but they pale in importance to this. That you teach your children where they go to gain wisdom. We're not doing that today. We're using worldly wisdom. Okay? Using worldly wisdom. We're more interested in our kids having a retirement plan. We got to get that all planned out right now. Let's talk about that. We got to think about the years ahead. Got to think about that. What happens if they don't have the good sense to be able to use that money because they haven't gained wisdom? Wisdom comes from God. Understanding and knowledge comes from God. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. And if you're not starting at the beginning right, the end will never end out right. All right? They were showing some footage. And you know, these third world countries, they don't have tanks and so forth. So they buy these arms and they mount them on the back of a Toyota pickup truck. You seen that? All right? Well, they showed this beat up pickup truck and it had on it the sophisticated rocket launching system. All right? But something was wrong with it. The pivoter on there was tore up. And so they were aiming it, and that thing was just flopping. Every time one would take off, it was flopping. Now, are they going to hit anything of any value? No. But we're shooting rockets. That's the big point, right? We're shooting rockets. No. If I could just keep my kids out of jail, I'll be a happy parent. Oh, that's aiming high. That's good target practice with that. You're doing the same thing that those poor ISIS people with a beat-up Toyota truck with a rocket launcher on the back that's got a tore-up swivel. It's just flopping. It's just firing. So if I can keep them out of jail, boom! I've done my job as a parent. No, you haven't. If you're a Christian parent, you haven't even started. If that's all you're aiming for, if I can just keep them out of jail. If I can just get them Get them where they'll be financially secure. I'll be a happy parent. Let me tell you something. How about all those parents that were living in 1928 when they were financially secure? Those that were on ships going over to London in 1928, that on board ship get a telegraph that they've lost everything when the market crashed. How about that security? Let me tell you something. You better be more concerned about your kids' spiritual maturity and salvation than anything else. Because then they'll be set for eternity. You talk about planning for the future? You want to talk about the security they ought to have? You better make sure, by God's grace, that you point them to the Savior, Jesus Christ. The writer here is pleading with his son. Notice verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver. Ooh. Oh, we love to seek after material things and money and silver and gold. All those commercials that they have. Buy gold. All right? We'll even send you this little miniature, security chest here. It's got fancy buttons on it that light up when you push them. And you can put your gold in there and they'll be safe. You can tuck that thing under your arm like a football and run out the door with it. I mean, that's not security. Notice, if thou seekest her, who is her? Wisdom. As silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You know what that is? That's Christian education. That's a Christian being educated. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But there has to be this series. Notice, if thou will receive my words. You know where it starts, young people? You know where wisdom and knowledge and understanding and discernment starts? It's when you be quiet and start listening to your parents and listening to your pastor. When you get quiet from all the things of this world and put it all aside and start listening and then following what's said. That's what the Bible says here. Very clearly. If thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, what young person are you hiding in your heart? This is the question, parents. What do you want them to have? What religion do you want your children to have? Do you want them to have true religion spoken of in James? The religion of truth, that Jesus Christ came to this earth and died on Calvary's tree that we might have forgiveness of sins and a home in heaven? That we might have newness of life in Him? Or do you want them to have the religion of this world? There's only two religions. There's a religion, the true religion of Jesus Christ, and all the rest of the religions bottled up. It doesn't matter what you label them, they're all false. False religion. What do you want them to have? And as a parent, you go after the fact, I want them to have true religion. I want them to hide my words in their heart. But you know what I found over the years is that we're not helping them very much. We're letting the world do all the teaching. We're letting the world teach our children. And we don't see problems with things. We don't see problems with our kids watching anything they want to watch on television or watching anything they want to see on the internet. And we think that they're going to somehow turn out to love God and to follow in His ways. The Bible says that's not going to happen. And it's not happening. Verse 2. So that thou wilt incline thine ear unto wisdom. When you hide the words of God in your heart, you are now inclined to wisdom. You're leaning in that direction now. You're not there yet. You're inclined. All right? Now this is the point. We want to bring children to the place where they submit themselves to God and that they follow Him. But they've got to be inclined. They've got to be inclined. So what do? We teach them the Word of God. We teach them to hide the words of God in their heart. And then they're inclined. They lean toward wisdom at that point. They're being aimed in the right direction. That's the whole idea behind the word incline. sustain them. You're putting them on a trajectory where they're going to hit the wisdom of God. That's the point. Do you know what? The Bible compares children to arrows. It compares children. Blessed is the man that hath his quiver full. Right, they're compared to arrows. Now, what kind of arrow do you want to have when you go hunting out in Blackwater River? You go bow hunting. I don't know about you, but I think I would want straight arrows. Right? I don't want to go out there with this curved arrow and put it in my thing and it shoot around a tree and hit me. All right? This idea, you know, they're just going to happen. They're just going to happen to turn out straight. No. They have to be inclined. They have to be put in that direction. They got to be put on that trajectory. When you aim a rocket and you figure in all the math and whatever, you're going to hit your target. It's an amazing thing to watch the footage of those aircraft firing. They're you know, 25 miles away and they fire a missile and it hits right on the target, exactly where they put it. Did that happen by accident? Oh, look at there, we got one. No, that's the mentality behind those that have the rocket launcher that's messed up and they're just shooting them all off and hope they're going to hit something. That's how people approach Christian education, I'm afraid. Verse 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver. Boy, I'm going to tell you, the drive to make money is a powerful drive. The drive to have financial success is a powerful, powerful drive. Now, what does the Bible say? That drive should be engaged toward what? Understanding and wisdom. Then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You'll hit the target. You'll hit the target. Now, Christian parents and grandparents, we must enter into the arena of combat against assaults against our Savior and our children and our grandchildren. You got to take up the battle. It's required. You got to take up the battle. Because the devil will have your kids, and he will have your grandkids, unless you pick up arms and go to battle against that. Don't think, well, they might turn out all right. Listen, you need to use every ounce of influence that God has given to you in that regard. That's what the writer of Proverbs was doing with his son. My son, if you'll just listen to my commandments, you listen to my words, you will turn out right. You will hit the mark. You will come to understand God's wisdom. Now, we haven't even gotten to the text that I want to get to today. And that's beginning at verse 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Now, stop right there. And we're going to finish with that. Where does wisdom come from? Well, it comes from universities and colleges. No, it doesn't. That today is where foolishness comes from. I listened to Bill O'Reilly this week. He was talking about, he sent one of his reporters up to the Northeast to talk about this sex week that they always have every year. It's unbelievable what's happening on our college campuses. Nudity, filthiness, vileness, and that's promoted. That's encouraged by the administration. And that's called education? Yeah, it's part of them. They got to sow their wild oats. No, they don't. No, they don't. Don't ever say that phrase if you're a Christian. Because if you say that phrase and people let on that you're a Christian, they won't be able to know that by that statement. That is a hellish statement. They've got to sow their wild oats. No, they don't. Where in the Bible do you find, oh, and by the way, give them years to sow their wild oats. The Bible describes a young man that went and sowed his wild oats. And where did he end up? He ended up in a pig pen. That's where his trajectory took him. He went out and he said, I'm going to aim at what I want to aim at, and he hit it. And it was right down there in a pig trough where he's fighting with pigs over what's going to be had for supper. Can you imagine that? Fighting with a pig over what food he's going to eat? I want that. Let me tell you something. That's the trajectory of all those that walk away from this book, because the Bible says that wisdom comes from God. That's the first principle of Christian education. That's the very first principle. All wisdom comes from God. When you get the notion that wisdom can come from man, you're in trouble. You've just adopted the philosophy of worldly education. That wisdom and knowledge resides with us. Now, God did say in the last days that that knowledge shall increase. He said that in Daniel. He said that in 2 Thessalonians. Knowledge shall increase. But what does not increase with that knowledge? Wisdom. Because wisdom comes from God. And if you don't know God, you don't have wisdom. You may have knowledge, but you will never have wisdom, because that's the gift of God. And this is the first principle that we need to get a hold of as believers, and we need to instruct our children and our grandchildren that wisdom comes from God. And you've got to be in God's Word to know the wisdom of God. You've got to be in God's house to know the wisdom of God. But we've got this, whatever. You know, whatever. That's the attitude of hell, and that's where you're headed. You won't be saying, that word will not be uttered on the lips of one individual in hell. Whatever. You think that's going to come off the lips of people that are burning, where the worm dieth not? Whatever. No. It's going to be the remembrance of every opportunity to receive truth from the Word of God. Wisdom comes from God. And if you reject wisdom from God, you will lose. You will not be a winner. You will not be successful. I don't care how much money you make. I know that's how the world governs and comes to the place. Well, they're successful because they got lots of money. No, they're not. You know how many people are shooting up drugs that are wealthy because they're unhappy? Read about them every week in the newspaper. Some famous starlet or some Hollywood guy that ended up in the hospital shooting up drugs. Why? Because they don't like the life that they're living and they're looking for an alternative. Listen, wisdom comes from God. We're going to continue this for a few Sundays here, because I want to help you to understand, why do we have a Christian school? Why do we have a Sunday school when all the churches around are stopping Sunday schools? Why do y'all have a Christian school? Why don't you just send your kids to the public school? There's nothing wrong with them. Oh, there's everything wrong with them. And we have got quote-unquote Christians today that have convinced themselves that there's nothing wrong with them. And they themselves are dead wrong. Because in the public school, wisdom doesn't come from God. It comes within the human heart. That's the whole principle. Wisdom flows from the heart. And what does the Bible say about the heart? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Certainly not people that don't know God. Would you bow your heads, please? Father in heaven, I pray that you would challenge us today. We live in a day and age of people who have muddled thinking, because they've gotten away from their Bibles. They only carry their Bibles to church, and they'll open it up for church, and that's the only time that they have their Bibles, and they'll nod their head in agreement when the preacher says something, but when it comes to the reality of life, it's not there. It's just not there. There's no life everlasting. There's no understanding of right and wrong according to the Word of God. There's no desire to be with Thee and to have Your rule upon this earth. It's just another thing that I've tacked onto my life, church, religion. Lord, I pray that you would work in the hearts and lives of people to understand that wisdom alone comes from Thee. There's not many sources for wisdom. There's not somebody on this earth that can be worshiped and found to be the source of all wisdom and knowledge. There is no one here. The only one that has that is Thee, Father, and Thy precious Son, and the Holy Spirit, all in one. I pray that You would work in our hearts today. And Lord, help us to appreciate and to fight for the truths of Your Word, to see them inculcated into our children. How sad for our children to have grown up in a church and school if they've not had a consistency between the home and the church and the school, that there was a disconnect somehow. Lord, I pray that You would work in hearts and lives to be instructed from Your Word. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.